It's Friday morning, and this is Nadine at 9, where curiosity meets conversation and nonsense gets called out. I'm your host, Nadine. Let's get talking. Good morning. It is Friday, and I am live with you in the Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Arts studio on Dam Radio in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. It is a sunny, warm weekend coming up, but thankfully we had rain last night. The Lord blessed us with some moisture, which is very much needed in this part of the state. So thank you, Lord, for that. I am going to be joined today by Mrs. Donna Webb, and I'm really looking forward to it because, as you know, I am passionate about several things, but one of the things that I really love to talk about and learn more about and try and help educate other people about is health, because I think there's always this major misconception about what health really is and what it looks like. And it does seem like it's gotten better over the years. You know, when I was younger, it was like, you should be stick skinny and, you know, eat 500 calories or less and all of this stuff. And thankfully that does seem to be changing a little bit, but it's still, you know, I was having a conversation with my older son the other day, and he was talking about going on a diet, and I was like, listen, the most important thing is just make sure you don't do something that you can't maintain for really the rest of your life, because that's why all of these diets and everything start failing, is because you go so restrictive on something that you just realistically can't usually maintain that kind of a lifestyle. And a lot of times people don't want to maintain that kind of a lifestyle. So it's, you know, I just think one of the most important things is make sure that you are doing something that you can maintain for the rest of your life that's healthy, that makes you feel healthy. So anyway, Donna Webb will be joining me in just a moment, but I did want to share just for a quick second, you know, obviously all of us know what happened last week, and I think probably a lot of us are still feeling very heavy from the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I know it is still very difficult for me to even get through the sentence, but I just wanted to recognize him again and the legacy that he has left for us, and I pray that we carry on, not to please him, but to glorify the Lord and to carry on the torch that Charlie so willingly laid down his life for. And, you know, when I was talking with Donna earlier in the week about doing the show, I was just asking her if she could remind me of some of the pointers that we were going to talk about, because I've just kind of felt a little bit in a haze really since last Wednesday. And I know that things need to keep moving forward. And she asked me if I thought that we should maybe postpone the show. And I was like, you know, on one hand, I know that things have to move forward, but also Charlie Kirk was very well informed about health, and he tried to educate people about health. And so I actually really felt like this show was very fitting to come this week, because, like I said, we need to keep moving forward, but also this is a topic that I know that he cared very much about, and like I said, I care very much about, and I want to just make sure that we keep getting good information out about it, because we need to change the course of our nation in lots of different ways, and this is one of the really big ways. And I firmly believe that as a follower of Christ, I'm called to be a good steward of everything he's given me, and one of the biggest things he's given me is my body. So I want to make sure that I'm being a good steward of it, and that I'm feeling well, so that way I have the energy to serve him well. So anyway, for those of you who don't know, this Sunday there is going to be the funeral for Charlie Kirk in Arizona. I believe that's 11 a.m. Arizona time, which I don't, honestly, I don't know if that's like Pacific. It's not Pacific time, but it's Arizona time because they're on their own little playing field. So I think it's 12 p.m. here would be when it would stream, but there is also another vigil in Jeff City at the state capitol at 2 on Sunday. So I just wanted to make sure and let everyone know that those things were happening this Sunday, and it's a way that we can honor a great man. All right, so without further ado, Mrs. Donna Webb, are you with me?
I am. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yes. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
I'm excited to have you on today. You know, I was just thinking, have we ever met in person?
I don't think we have.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
I couldn't remember if you had come to a meeting back earlier in the year and I had been there, and yeah, I just wasn't sure, and it just popped into my head. But that's okay, because I interview lots of people I haven't met. So.
Yeah, I think it would have been January or February that I had been to Jeff City, and there were many, many people at that meeting, so we may have crossed paths.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, hopefully we will in the future, but I am very grateful for your time, and I just am really looking forward to what you have to share today. The topics that you sent me are so interesting, so I really look forward to it. But before we dive into all of that, why don't you just share a little bit about who you are so that way people know, and then we'll move forward.
I love that. I love that. Well, this is my favorite topic, so I totally geek out on this whole thing. So that's why I love talking about it. So yes, I'm Donna Webb. I am a licensed dietitian and certified diabetes educator. And I have been a dietitian, oh my goodness, I always just say over 25 years. I think it's probably closer to 35 years,
wow,
maybe a little bit more. I grew up in
Ferguson. So you started when you were one?
Exactly. How did you know? Yes, exactly. So I grew up in Ferguson, and so I was a dietitian in St. Louis for a long time, for about half of my career. And then for the other half of my career, I've been in Springfield. So we moved to Springfield in 1998. And so, like I said, I've been a dietitian for a very long time. Graduated from Mizzou in 1988, I think. So that's when I started to, you know, be my personal foundation of nutrition and what I knew about nutrition and what I was taught to teach about nutrition. And so that's who I was. I was a good little soldier. So I was doing, of course, teaching low fat and teaching people how to eat low fat foods and how to cut out fat out of their diet and, you know, low fat diet dressings and low fat sour cream, and tried to convince people it tasted good, and that was the challenge. And I had even been a chief dietitian at several hospitals, and of course, feeding people, you know, designing menus for sick people. And again, it was always about low fat. And I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. That is what we have all been told, again, since the early 70s, but really 1985 is when it kicked in. So moving forward, I'm going to say it was about 15 years ago now, where I was at a dietitian meeting in Springfield, where the message was, you know, fat might not be as bad as we thought, and sugar might be a whole lot worse than we thought. And I will tell you, I was knocked off my horse. Like, I remember I was personally and professionally distraught. At the time, I was working with a ministry here in Springfield where we were serving a lot of families. And I was literally having dreams that I was giving cookies to little kids and then had to take back their cookies.
Oh, no.
Like, that was how so nuts I was at the time. And I was working at the Diabetes Center at Cox at the time. And I remember going to work the next day and, like, had no idea what to tell people. I'm like, you know what? I have no idea what you should eat. Eat whatever you want. Like, I was just distraught. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to throw out everything I thought I knew and replace it with a new set of rules without really understanding what was going on better. I wanted to understand the literature better. I wanted to understand the research better. I wanted to kind of get out of my bubble and do the due diligence, like investigation myself. So that's what changed my life. That's what changed my entire approach to nutrition, and totally understood how we got here and why the chronic disease has just skyrocketed. And so that's kind of my story as far as how I got here. And so I'm hoping today to kind of share some of the things I've learned and like, what are the differences of how I teach now and what the truth is about nutrition and how we got so off track.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, in that meeting that you were at when, you know, they were kind of throwing bombshells, do you think that other people, how do you think other people's reactions were? Were they about the same as yours, or was there a lot of pushback or...
No, there was, I remember that it was a dietitian meeting. I was sitting in the front row because I knew the presenters and I was friends with them, sitting in the front row and just mesmerized. Like there was, in my mind, there was not even anybody else in the room. Mm. I was completely entranced by these speakers. I get up. I was like the only one left. Everyone else in the room had left early because it was a long meeting. But the students, except for the students who had to stay, the dietetic students that had to be there, I was like the only one. I turned around like, where is everybody? How come everybody isn't also as freaked out as I am? So for somehow it hit my soul that meeting. So it was incredible. So that was my experience. And the other thing that happened during that time, there was, and like I said, there was only a handful of us that were just like, holy cow, what are we doing? We are literally teaching people how to stay sick. Mm. And so there was a group, I'm going to say 5 or 6 of us dietitians in the area who, like I said, were freaked out. And so we got a group together and we called ourselves the underground dietitians.
Oh, I love it.
And we didn't want to even be talking about this with other dietitians because we were like, oh, it again, get canceled. Yep. You know, literally that could happen to us. So we would get one article, very, very deep, difficult, science-based article. We would all read it. Then we would get together and discuss it. Like, what are you seeing? What am I seeing? Because it's hard to understand and hard to like really make those paradigm shifts that we had been taught for since undergrad. So, mm-hmm. it was crazy. That's a great question because you nailed it. They weren't freaked out like I was. And anyway, so.
I was just curious, which I've shared this story several times with other people, but my husband was actually diagnosed with diabetes when he was 31, and he was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic, but he did not fit the mold for type 2 diabetes at all. Nope. But that's how they addressed it. And so they told him, you know, like quit eating carbs and take this metformin and all of this.
Oh my goodness.
And he lost 10 pounds in a week. And my husband is very thin as it is. And I was like, this is not going to work. So I actually had nannied for a family when I lived in Maui, and she was a master nutritionist. So I was talking to her about it, and she was like, so there's actually this thing called type 1.5 diabetes. Yes. It's like a late onset adult diabetes. Yes. And she said, but it has to be treated like type 1 because it's like the pancreas hasn't completely quit, but you don't know when it's working. And so you have to use insulin. So I started doing a bunch of research on this stuff and just diabetes in general. And we finally found an endocrinologist who was willing to at least address it like type 1 diabetes. You know, I was talking to him about type 1.5, and he was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. out.
Oh my gosh.
And so anyway, we got that taken care of, but then we went and met with the nutritionist who, mm-hmm. and people might be upset with me for saying this, but she had no business being a nutritionist because it looked like she had eaten 700 cheeseburgers that morning. I mean, it was just like, what are you, you're telling people what to eat and you... You know, she like I'm not a very skinny person, but I'm healthy.
Yes,
and yes, she was just not healthy. Anyway, so she's telling us what he should eat, and she's like, you know, he can have diet sodas and blah blah blah. And mm-hmm. I was like, haven't they actually linked aspartame, which is what's in diet sodas, to type 2 diabetes? And she just kind of looked at me and was like, well, that's not proven. Like, why are you telling someone that they can drink as much diet soda as they want when you don't even, I mean, there's a chance, which I think it's a very good chance. I mean, I think it has been more proven now, but it was so frustrating to me because I was like, you're the person that we should be going to get good information. And I don't trust you at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Yeah.
So that was a really interesting encounter that we had. And basically since then I told my husband, I was like, we're not like, I will help you. I will help you know what to eat and drink.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's extremely frustrating. And like I said, I didn't say this, but there is still a very small percentage of dietitians who are what I would say functional or like-minded mm-hmm. in a whole food. So really what I did was really switch to whole foods, really just focused in giving people. And I also believe that dietitians as a profession have made things so complicated mm-hmm. and it's not supposed to be complicated. I want everybody's food to be super simple, super nutritious and super delicious. And so that is kind of how we teach. But the other thing is I started to dig deeper and really study it. You can see that at the point of the first, can I jump into this part with the dietary guidelines for Americans? Is that okay?
Yep.
So the first point that the dietary guidelines for Americans were published, it was 1985. And you can see the diabetes rates or the prevalence of diabetes and the obesity rates have skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. So we had about, in 1980s, we had about a 4% incident of diabetes. We now have 15%.
Wow.
And it has just, and it's not quitting. Like, it's just, that's what it is today. And it's just continuing to climb. And same thing with obesity. So the obesity thing is like I can't even barely speak it because it's so horrible. Mm-hmm. So we had about a 10% obesity rate when we in the 1980s. And now we are above 30s and pushing easily into the 40s and 50s, depending on which state you live in.
Wow.
And so the obesity rate has just gone crazy. Mm. And so it is, it's scary again, and it's not even stopping.
Right.
So when you look at, when we kind of think, and so my theory or contention, I guess I would say, it all started with that low fat message. Okay. It started from that, and then what happened from there. And so can I even go back a little bit further from that before 1980, and how do we even get to talking about fat?
Yeah.
There was a researcher in the 60s, and his name was Ansel Keys, and he had the theory that cholesterol was the issue. Cholesterol was causing heart disease. It was just a theory. And so he designed a study called the 7 Countries Study, and he handpicked the countries to support his theory that cholesterol was the problem. And this is very common, very well known kind of in my industry that this is what happened. So he had done some pre-studies before that. And then when he published his 7 country studies, he had handpicked these studies where he found that people that had high intake of fat had a high incidence of heart disease. Also at that time, he was friends with the doctor of President Eisenhower. And at that time he had a heart attack. And so they all got on TV and said, fat is bad, stop eating fat. Okay. So at the same time, there was studies in Germany that said sugar was the problem. It wasn't fat, really sugar was the problem. And but because Germany kind of had such a bad reputation after World War II, those studies were pushed aside. They don't know what they're talking about. We can't trust them at all. And so that's what started percolating this whole cholesterol is bad thing. Then, of course, jump to 1985, where those first dietary guidelines for Americans came out and said, basically, stop eating fat. So one of the recommendations is avoid too much fat, saturated fat, and cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was Americans, and so I don't know if you've heard of the NHANES study.
No.
I don't know if you're familiar with that. So the NHANES study is a food frequency questionnaire, and it's a national study that they do every, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, where they send all these food frequency questionnaires to Americans and ask them questions like, do you drink skim milk or whole milk? How many times a week do you eat beef? Do you ever eat bacon? Like this kind of a study. And so after that 1985 with the NHANES study, we can see what Americans did. Did they stop eating fat? What happened? And so what we know from those studies is that Americans ate the same amount of fat. So they did not drop their fat, but they started to eat more carbohydrates. And so now if fat is bad, carbs must be safe. And so now we're doing bagels for breakfast, we're snacking on pretzels at, you know, midday, lots of sandwiches, rice is okay. And also in those same dietary guidelines for Americans, it actually does say eat foods with adequate starch and fiber. So we were told to eat less fat and eat more carbs. So that's one thing that happened. So now we've shifted that macro balance, and now we're eating all these high carb foods. And the second thing that happened because of those guidelines, the food industry started to create all these diet foods, these low fat foods, mm-hmm. where they took out fat and they added sugar and chemicals. So now instead of me and all the dietitians, and many dietitians still will tell people, now again, I'm not telling people to eat potato chips, but if you look at the ingredients on regular potato chips, there's 3 ingredients: potatoes, oil, salt.
Right.
If you look at the ingredients on baked potato chips, it's got 2 kinds of sugar, maltodextrin, it's got soy lecithin, it's got, I mean, it's a mess. It's a frankenfood. And so that's what happened. And again, me as a dietitian was telling people to eat those things.
Right.
I have to take full ownership for this. I was that dietitian. And so again, when I went to work after kind of my big aha moment, I ethically felt like I could not continue to tell people to eat what I now know is making them sick.
Right.
And so I started to teach whole foods. So I just started, you know what? Let's not worry so much about the fat. Let's just get you to read those ingredients labels. Mm-hmm. And so we have 3 simple rules, we call them, but we want to avoid foods with added sugar. We want to avoid foods with more than 5 ingredients, and avoid foods with ingredients that you can't pronounce and you don't know what they look like. Mm-hmm. Like super simple, easy, like a kindergartner could do that. Like, you know, anybody that can read can follow that ingredients or those recommendations. So like I said, I was working at a hospital, started to teach whole foods, and I had physicians getting furious at me. I had a doctor tell me that all the doctors are mad at you, you're about to get fired. He would call me on the phone and just, yell at me for 20 minutes about everything. What I was teaching wasn't, you know, was, again, not low fat. So he was all freaked out about that. He thought I was saying that, you know, we need to be concerned again about sugar and the fructose that's in sugar. My goodness, they can do a whole nother segment on that. But if I tell people not to eat fructose, well, they're not going to eat fruit, and they need to be eating fruit. And it got a little crazy. So that kind of like led me out of the traditional medical model where I'm now in private practice, and I can fully teach the power of nutrition. Maybe I'm telling you, when you can teach and recommend full food, real food, whole food, we heal guts in my office. It's amazing. Like, we heal people instead of where medications are kind of just covering up symptoms. We literally can heal the metabolic disease that's causing the problem. I mean, I that's why I said I get so geeky about it, because it is a new day. You know, I never healed anybody. We told, when I was working at the hospitals, we told people, you have to do this for 3 months. That's what we always told people. This isn't going to work. No, if you do whole foods for a week, you have better blood sugar. You have weight loss. You have stomachs that are healed. It doesn't take 3 months. And I always say the food that's kept us healthy for thousands of years is still the food that keeps us healthy.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I could go on and on.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have quite a few people that come to you that have been trying to go basically like the pharmaceutical route and just like it's not working, and so they come to you? Is that a lot of the patients that you get?
All of them. All of them are on so many medicines, and you know, and again, it's not working. I mean, it's not working. It's not fixing you. And so it happens all the time. And that's why when patients come to me, I kind of go through this whole story, because they've heard so many contradictory messages about nutrition. And of course, with social media, we've got, everybody's got their idea about what to do. And so I need to tell them, okay, this is literally what's actually going on with your metabolism. And so the other thing I didn't mention, but what's really causing all the chronic disease that we're dealing with really goes back to chronic inflammation. So, you know, it's this low grade inflammation in your body that interrupts all the healthy processes of the body. So it's anything in our environment that can be pro-inflammatory. So we talk about stress. Stress is very pro-inflammatory. And I don't want to get personal with your situation with your husband, but my first thing is, you know, that's an autoimmune disease. Type 1 and LADA, like your husband has, is an autoimmune disease where the body decides to start attacking itself. He probably had a very healthy pancreas for all those years, and then all of a sudden, it's not working. So the body's like attacking itself. Well, a lot of times with my clients, it's triggered by a very stressful event in their lives or something that triggers an autoimmune disease. And so and that's inflammation. And then it's in, you know, the immune system has gone awry, basically. And so we talk about things, you know, what's going on. I take a pretty deep history before I kind of even talk about nutrition with my patients, just so I can understand where are the sources of inflammation coming, or potential sources of inflammation. And so, and then we also know that disruption in circadian rhythm, which, you know, circadian rhythm is any cycle that your body goes through in a 24-hour period. So disruption in circadian rhythm is pro-inflammatory. So that's sleep, you know, when people are getting this, and you know, everybody's getting junky sleep.
Yeah.
So poor sleep is pro-inflammatory. And then the other circadian rhythm, we're learning so much about circadian rhythm in our human body and other animal bodies, but the other one is our gut. So our gut has a circadian rhythm. So our eating window should not be more than 12 hours. So that gives your gut a 12-hour fasting period where it's not really resting. It's doing resets on hydrochloric acid and phases and cycles and that kind of thing. But it needs that 12 hours to do it. So that is also pro-inflammatory. So we're talking about that. And then, of course, when I mentioned foods that have sugar in the ingredients, lots of ingredients and chemicals, those foods are pro-inflammatory. So I was telling, and low-fat dietitians are telling patients to eat food that is pro-inflammatory, that is sparking their disease. So it's like setting it on fire. And so when they do that, when they remove those those pro-inflammatory foods and then add all these delicious whole foods that taste amazing. Butter is delicious. Mm-hmm. You know, sour cream is delicious. They heal their body. They heal all this inflammatory disease that's going on. And not to mention the metabolic disease that is healed when they do whole foods. So yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah, it is amazing when you really start looking at labels and you think like, it's kind of weird that they have to use so many things to make a product that really should just be, like you said, with potato chips, it should just be three things.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember I was at the store, this has been a few years now, but I was in the health food section at Hy-Vee, and I was looking at these salad dressings, and they literally had zero calories, zero ingredients, not zero ingredients, but like zero calories, zero fat, zero sugar. And I was just like, there's literally no possible way to make food that doesn't have anything in it. It's like, that's so, and so to me, I see that and I'm just like, major red flag. I'm staying away from that. But like you're saying, people are being educated by these doctors and whoever, and nutritionists and whoever else that are like, yeah, you should eat all of that because it's zero calories and you're counting your calories so that you can have as much of that as you want. But it's like, it's all crap. Right. Your body has no idea how to handle that.
Yes. And that is what I tell people. I do not look at the nutrition facts. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. The food company is going to manipulate those nutrition facts to sell whatever they're trying to sell, make it look higher in something, lower in something, whatever they're trying to sell. So I always tell people, go straight to the ingredients. That's what we want to know. And think of your grocery basket as a hedge of protection around the health of your family. Whatever you put into that basket will determine your family's future wellness or future sickness. And that is not hyperbole. That is the truth. What we eat all the time is what's going to determine our future wellness or our future sickness. So,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So you had a couple of specific points, which we've kind of danced around several of them. And I mean, you can keep going in whatever direction you want, but I do really want to discuss your point about how salt got blamed for what sugar did.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, salt is a nutrient, you know, and our kidneys are made to filter it out when it, you know, when we get too much. But salt, we've blamed salt for causing high blood pressure. You know, that's kind of been a mantra since I was a baby dietitian 35 years ago. But actually, and here's why this kind of adds to the comment that I said that sugar is worse than we thought. So, you know, and I'm not talking about carbs necessarily. I'm talking about actual sugar. So table sugar, let's say. Mm-hmm. So table sugar is two molecules. It's a glucose molecule, which we all know is blood sugar. So the glucose then affects blood sugar. But the other part is fructose. And fructose is way worse for us than we ever could imagine. Our bodies were just not made to eat the amount of sugar that the standard American gets in a year, okay? We just weren't meant. We cannot tolerate that much fructose. And so a couple different ways, well, many different ways fructose is terrible for us. So I'll just tell you all the ways, and that'll kind of also include with the high blood pressure. So you know, glucose can get broken down or metabolized by all the cells in our body. All the cells can use glucose for fuel. But fructose is primarily broken down in the liver, and the liver can only handle a small amount. So when we give our body too much fructose, first of all, our liver turns it into triglycerides. So when people have high triglycerides, it's because of too much sugar in their diet or too much alcohol. Mm. It has nothing to do with the fat in your diet and everything to do with the sugar in your diet. So that's number one. So fructose turns into fat. And then if my liver is making fat, where do I store it? Well, I store it right there in my tummy, right around all those vital organs, that visceral fat. So that's number two terrible thing about fructose. Then here's where the blood pressure part comes in. As we continue to break down that fructose, we create something called uric acid. A lot of people have heard uric acid related to gout, which is true. It causes gout, but it also interrupts an enzyme that keeps our blood pressure healthy. So there is an enzyme that, well, first of all, you know, our veins are contracting and dilating and contracting and dilating, and that's what maintains healthy blood pressure. There's an enzyme called nitric oxide synthetase that actually does that. It's responsible for the compression and dilation of those vessels. Uric acid blocks that enzyme. So that's what's causing high blood pressure. It is not salt at all. Mm-hmm. It's the too much sugar. And I will keep saying that. I'm not anti-sugar. I'm anti too much sugar.
Right.
That's why I don't want to get sugar in my potato chips.
Right.
Did you know that Campbell's chicken noodle soup has high fructose corn syrup? I mean, it's freaking everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So again, I go back to that message of that low fat message, where then the food industry created all these foods where they just, fat is bad, let's pull the fat out and let's add a ton of sugar. Nobody said anything about the sugar. We can add sugar as much as we want. And so that is driven the chronic disease epidemic. It always goes back to sugar.
Yeah.
No matter which thing we talk about, it always goes back to sugar.
Yeah. I was just going to mention, so the earlier this year, I did a 40-day sugar fast for just like kind of some spiritual reasons, but then also for health reasons. And it was amazing, not in a good way, but I hadn't ever done it this seriously, and I was so disgusted at how much sugar is in everything, which, you know, I mean, I've been paying attention to this stuff for over a decade, but like I said, I hadn't ever been paying this much attention to everything I was eating. And I was like, I'm in natural grocers, and I could not find a snack bar, you know, just like a meal bar, because I'm on the go a lot. I couldn't find one that didn't have sugar in it or some kind of sugar alternative. And I was like, I mean, I don't mind necessarily the honey or maple syrup, but I was like, how can they not make something? I mean, just use fruit, for crying out loud. There's so much sweetness in bananas and mangoes. I was just, it really was impactful on me, because I just was disgusted. And you're right. I mean, it's in absolutely everything. Even when you look at something and it's like, oh, this is organic, and people just plop it into their cart, but they're still not looking at the ingredients. And it's like, it's still the first ingredient is sugar. It just says organic next to it.
Exactly. Exact. You're exactly right. And so people ask me like, should I do organic? I'm like, eh, I don't know. I mean, I don't. Yeah, exactly. They can slap that. And then when you look at an organic food, it says organic before each ingredient, organic sugar, organic whatever, you know. And so it's just such a dupe. And that's why we have been so duped by just the food industry. And I'm not here to talk about conspiracy theory or anything, but it is what has happened. I'll give you let me give you one more thought about fructose. And this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I want you to think about hibernating bears. So bears, all summer long, they can eat honey, they can eat berries, and they use it for fuel, and it's just fine. But they have a genetic switch that when it is time for them to start eating to gain fat in order to get ready for hibernation, this genetic switch turns fructose that's in the honey, I mean, yeah, in the honey and in the berries, into a fat storage molecule. Okay. So that is how they get fat, is because by eating all this high sugar fruits and things that they eat in nature. Humans do not have that switch. Fructose is always a fat storage metabolite in our food. And so that also, when again, we went to the low fat message, food industry started to add all the sugar to stuff. Now we've got an obesity epidemic we could never have predicted. And that is because, again, of the added sugar. To me, it all goes back to sugar every time. So, not good news. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I mean it, but it's stuff that people I think that people are slowly starting to recognize and listen to different alternatives to what they've thought their whole lives. But I also think that there's still just so many people, and honestly, myself included sometimes, that just don't want to give it up. You know, that it's
Oh,
like,
sure.
this is just what we like to eat, and we're just going to keep eating it. I mean, we're going to die one day, so you might as well, you know, enjoy what you're eating. But I just think that the bigger message needs to be, how do you want to feel while you're living? You know, like, do you want to have aches and pains all the time? Do you want to be lethargic all the time? And that's just what I try and keep in mind is like, yes, I have a very limited time on this earth. This is not my forever home, but while I'm here, I want to actually feel well. And when I'm, you know, a senior citizen, I want to feel well. I want to be able to get out and move around and not just feel like I'm already dead.
Absolutely. And you're not going to avoid it if people, Well, let me say another thing too. I encourage people, no, don't focus on so much what you need to take out. Focus on what you need to add. Because not only do I think we have a chronic obesity epidemic, I think we have a chronic malnutrition epidemic. Because the other thing, when you look at what I call those frankenfoods, they're also void of nutrition. So if you just even look at regular chips versus baked chips, the regular chips have more nutrition in them. They've got more vitamin C and other kinds of nutrients, where the frankenfood that now aren't even fully potato, they've got less vitamin C, barely any vitamin C. And so that is a thing too. So not so much focus on, oh gosh, I have to stay away from all this sugar. Think about, what do I need to add to my diet that's whole food, that's even, again, full fat. And again, full fat means bacon and butter are back, so we're happy about that. And we can do another whole segment on how that's not even true, that beef fat is bad or bacon is bad. And so, just go to Whole Food. Go to Whole, it's just such a safe place to be, and it is delicious. I mean, the food is delicious. And fat and protein actually naturally manage our hunger hormones. So we have hormones that tell us to stop eating, and we have hormones that tell us it's time to eat again. Protein increases the hormone that tells us to stop eating, and fat delays the hormones that tells us it's time to eat again. Sugar doesn't do that. Sugar actually blocks the hormones that tells us that we're full. So we're always hungry. So by taking out the fat and adding the sugar, we have created like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a perfect storm for what we have been the great experiment. What would happen if we took out natural food? And you know what? Another thing is about God. So it, to me, it always goes back to God. Mm-hmm. Are we running out of time? Are we doing
no,
okay?
No, no, we're just fine.
Okay. I have one more, just another thought about the love of God. So I look at an orange, okay? And I feel like an orange is a perfect message about how God loves us. So God knew we would love sugar, right? But he also knew that too much sugar would be dangerous for us. So we also put fiber in an orange. Mm. And the fiber actually protects us from some of that sugar. So fiber actually holds on to some of that sugar. So some of it doesn't even go into our system. And so I feel like if we would just stick with the food that the Lord created for his creation to eat, we would have been fine. Mm-hmm. Like, we just need to eat what he made and we'd be fine. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just always think that we, but as humans, what do? We pull the sugar out of the orange. We take away the protection of the fiber and then we put the sugar in everything. And so that's just what we do. We mess it up. We remove God's protection and we just want to indulge in the fun thing and ignore his protection. So,
that's super interesting. I like that, yeah, that analogy a lot. So, okay. So I want to ask you, what is your recommendation about fruit? Because, you know, obviously, like, God gave us fruit and fruit has nutrition in it. But I mean, should it be treated kind of like other sugar things, even though it's natural sugar? I mean, is your body still going to have a little bit of a difficult time processing fruit sugar?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's still sugar. So, you know, it's still that disaccharide we talked about, glucose and fructose together. Your body doesn't really differentiate the sugar part, but the difference is the fiber. So the difference is that that's why we kind of love berries, because they're really high in fiber. So so some of that sugar doesn't even go into your system. Some of it, and I don't know what percent or anything like that, but some of it doesn't go in your system and it actually stays in your gut. And fiber is so fantastic for our microbiome. So that is, that's kind of my approach to fruit. So when you have sugar, if you can have it with something, even with a protein or with a fat or with fiber, like it naturally comes in fruit, that's the best way to do your sugar because it's buffered a little bit. So,
yeah, that's very good. Very, very good to know. So I have a question about iodized salt, because I had been doing some research a few years back about iodized salt, and I had seen, oh goodness, was it like in the 90s, maybe kind of 80s, 90s, that there was this movement of like, iodized salt is bad. We need to remove iodine from all of the salt, right? And so it's like, there's now all of this salt that's iodide free, or however you say it. Well, when I was researching it, I had seen that, thyroid issues are often caused by a lack of iodine. And I also was just noticing that, you know, this rise in thyroid issues really was happening around the same time that basically, like, all salt was being rid of iodine.
Yes.
So I'm curious if you've studied that at all and what you have come to the conclusion of.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, I hate to keep harping on this, but if you read the ingredients on iodized salt, it has sugar in it. It's so crazy. I'm so sorry. So, but you are exactly right. So there was a period of time, but it was many, many years ago. I don't even know. Has it been in the 50s or 60s, something like that, where they were having an uptick and they were finding that there was a deficiency of iodine. So that was true. So they added it to it. But again, it was quite a long time ago. And I don't know initially if they had, if they were adding sugar, it must be something that they need in that molecule mm-hmm. of iodized salt or something. But that's again, why a reason I don't recommend iodized salt. I just like the Himalayan salt, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have mm-hmm. other minerals in it as well. And I just feel like that's an easy fix, you know, just an easy switch. For yeah. folks.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, no, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, you can tell me that yeah. I'm barking up a wrong tree here. It was just interesting to me that
yeah.
they, you know, just kind of what you're saying, like when, oh, let's take the fat out of it, but then let's add all of this and then all of these other issues start. So I was just really yeah. curious about that, the iodized salt thing. And I have never noticed that there was sugar in it. So that's interesting.
It's so crazy. Once you start reading those, once you start looking for that, you just, oh my gosh, it's just a rabbit hole. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it does, I mean, it gets kind of honestly depressing because you feel a little bit like, what can we buy? You know, right. Obviously Whole Foods, but it's just like yeah. everything that you had been eating, you're realizing oh. like you had just been feeding these issues the whole time. And you know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. Why is there sugar in this stuff?
Well, think about me. I was recommending it to people. Like I was telling people to eat that stuff,
right.
You know, oh, don't do those, do the diet dressings and do, oh my goodness. Like I just felt like I needed to go back and call the thousands of patients I had seen for the first half of my career and apologize to them. But I'll tell you, I hate to admit this, but my profession has not made the shift. They mm-hmm, haven't. Mm-hmm. So if I have just a short time for another story. So
there's plenty of time. Go ahead.
Okay. So as dietitians, we have to get 75 hours of continuing education every 5 years. Not hard to get, but I procrastinate every 5 years. And then I'm always rushing to get my hours in. So this time I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and like knock it out all at once. So my profession is called the Academy, or our professional body is Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, AND. And so they offer lots of continuing ed. So, I have not been I have to give them money every year to maintain my registration, but I'm not a member because they've been sponsored by Coca-Cola and other McDonald's for years. So I don't give them my money anymore. But I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do a continuing education certification program with them. It's 60 hours. It's $400. Let's knock out a bunch of hours at one time. I did not learn one thing that I did not learn in 1988 in my undergrad.
Wow.
They are still teaching exactly the same thing. They didn't talk about low carb diets. They mentioned the medications, but they didn't talk about how they work or if they work or what were the side effects or nothing, nothing. This just infuriates me. So there was a few live sessions that you had to sit in on. You know what one of the live sessions was? Diversity in your patients. Making sure you honor their pronouns.
Oh, no.
Making sure that I honor, as a dietitian for 35 years, I had to be told to honor somebody's pronouns. They actually said, well, I don't really, you know, something about when a pregnant person comes in, I make sure I honor their pronouns. Mm. Oh, my Lord. Mm. I am paying money for this.
Yes.
This is my professional organization. So I hate to say it, but dietitians as a whole are not moving in this direction. We are still, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just a frustration. And that's why we were the underground dietitians,
right.
Because all the other dietitians. And so the undergrad programs are still teaching that. And the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, they come out every 5 years. And in 2020, they're still saying low fat. Saturated fat. Yeah. So at least now they are saying limit sugar and fat, but it's such a giant ship and we're just doing such a slow job of turning it. So.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I know that you said like you feel kind of like this guilt from your early years, but I, you know, we've all we all have to learn and grow and make changes. And I mean, it's, you know, now you're, I think, probably even more passionate about it because right. you did teach something that wasn't really the best way to go for right. so long, but you didn't know. Right. And so now, right. you know, you do have right. more zeal in correcting it because yeah. you did have bad information yes. for a while. So oh, do you see more and more people kind of moving to your side, so to speak? I mean, like as far as dietitians.
No.
Oh, really?
No, I don't. Yeah, like I said, our profession is still teaching that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so they're still driving that. And I've been to a few other professional meetings recently, and I'm horrified with what they're teaching. I'm horrified by it.
Well,
I'm
yeah, that's depressing because it has seemed to me in, you know, at least the past 5 or so years that there's more what look to be like holistic practices right. popping up.
Right.
But yeah, that's really frustrating that it's not really making a shift as a whole.
Yeah, you definitely. And you know, that's why I see if somebody tells you they've been to a dietitian, I take pause, man. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're going to have to undo everything right. she told you.
Right.
And that's why you're seeing more functional and holistic practitioners come up, you know, popping up. Mm-hmm. Now I can't complain too much because I'm a licensed dietitian and the medical community still recognizes that as the nutrition expert, which I kind of laugh at, but mm-hmm. that's okay.
Right.
So I can charge insurance. I can bill under insurance.
Oh.
So where like a holistic functional nutritionist couldn't.
Yeah.
So they're not recognized by the medical community. That's again why I have to maintain my registration. I have to give them my money every year to maintain my licensure. So, so that I can build insurance. And when I'm in network with somebody's insurance, they get to see me for free, no out of pocket cost at all. So it's a really cool
wow.
gig actually.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Cause
yeah,
I know that is a pretty big deal to a lot of people, or at least the excuse they give as to why they don't go that route is yeah. because you don't, you know, most of them don't take insurance.
Right. Right.
Wow.
So that was part of Obamacare. So, or Affordable Care Act. So when Affordable Care Act was passed, it says that all insurance companies have to pay for some preventive services and they get to choose which preventive services they cover. So what I do is considered medical nutrition therapy, and that's considered a preventive service. So for the insurances that cover medical nutrition therapy as a preventive service, it's no out-of-pocket cost, no deductible, no copay. I'm not allowed to bill deductible or copay. So it's great for the patient. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
So that was one good thing out of Affordable Care Act. I'm hoping nobody ever yes. changes.
Yeah, exactly. So Donna, I'm going to say this at the end too, and I'll include it in my Substack, but where can people find you?
So my website is brightskynutrition.com. So BRIGHTSKY nutrition.com. And I do virtual visits too. I'm only licensed in Missouri. That's the restriction. We are licensed by state. So,
right.
I'm licensed in Missouri. I work with a lot of corporate wellness programs. So I find companies where I'm in network with their insurance. And then I love to do lunch and learns and presentations and starting also a speaking business here pretty soon. And so if anybody wanted even a lecture or needed a speaker on nutrition, that would be great. I would love to help out with any of that.
Oh, so, that's wonderful. Yeah. So the best place for people to just get in touch with you for anything, even if they're in this area, you know, and would maybe want to try and get an in-person with you would just be to go to your website.
Yeah. So if you go to my website, there's going to be a button that says, I think it says schedule a call or something. And that gets you a call with our virtual assistant. And
okay.
so then she can answer questions about insurance. And, you know, she's just kind of my clearinghouse just because I would be answering calls. I can't get back to them because obviously I'm seeing patients. And
oh,
so,
right. Absolutely.
So she's my virtual assistant. So that's a great first step. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And then if somebody wanted to send me an email, I'm at Donna, D-O-N-N-A, at brightskynutrition.com.
Okay. So, well, I will make sure to include all of that so people have a way to get a hold of you. I'm thinking that I might schedule an appointment with you, at least for myself and maybe for my husband. Because, you know, he's, like I said, I mean, it's been, well, goodness, over 10 years now that he's been diabetic. And I would just like to talk to someone that, you know, has more of your approach about it.
Absolutely.
And see just,
well, I just am so sad about that endo that you went to, because if I've had patients in my office that say, yeah, I've got type 2 diabetes, and you can tell they don't have type 2 diabetes. Like, you can tell by their history and what they look like in their labs. And, you know, and that would be the first thing I would think of. Like, I think you've got that 1.5, we call it LADA, you know, that's the latent adult onset diabetes, something I can't remember what it stands for, but that's a real thing. And it's, and then it's a totally, like you said, you're not being treated correctly unless you get that type of diabetes correct.
Right.
I mean, you can kill somebody, like literally kill somebody.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'll get off that soapbox.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's very bad.
Yeah. Well, so I know that we actually, I have 30 more minutes of the show. So we can either go into one of your other topics, or if you feel like maybe this is enough information for one show, we could leave it here and then do another show later down the road. It's totally up to you. I'm fine. I'm fine either way.
Yeah.
You want to keep going?
Well, let's just real quick. Can we just talk about metabolic syndrome real quick?
Yes.
That'll kind of connects a few more dots,
sure.
And then we can maybe do lipids or cholesterol sometime later. So there was a doctor in the 1980s, a cardiologist, who noticed that all of his patients that were getting full-blown heart disease, so they were having heart attacks, they were getting stents, all those kinds of things, in the 80s, he noticed these things. They all had large waist circumference. They had big tummies.
Mm-hmm.
He noticed that they had high triglycerides and low HDLs. He noticed that they had blood sugar 130 over 90. I think it's pre-hypertension. And he noticed that they had blood sugars over, fasting blood sugar over 100, which is pre-diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So waist circumference, triglyceride, HDL, blood pressure, and glucose. He noticed, so we put that together and we call it metabolic syndrome. So that cluster of indicators is basically pre-disease. It's telling it's going to get diabetes disease or going to get cardiovascular disease, all right? Pretty straightforward. And we consider somebody to have metabolic syndrome if they have 3 of those 5 indicators.
Okay.
Notice what's not on there. Cholesterol's not on there. Okay. Cholesterol is not predictive of cardiovascular disease. People with high cholesterol have heart attacks and people with low cholesterol have heart attacks. Okay. Secondly, LDLs, not on there, right? And so LDLs aren't on there. Notice that BMI isn't on there. It's more where you carry your fat than really being overweight. And so when we talk about those 5 indicators, and cholesterol is not on there. It has nothing. Every one of those indicators is driven by sugar. Okay. Hate to, this has become such a sugar bashing, but I don't mean that. I just want to, again, make the connection that it's not really about fat and it's all about sugar. Because remember the glucose. So that's the glucose part. Remember the fructose part turns into triglycerides. And so it's high triglycerides, low HDLs. Then where we store it is in the viscera. That's the belly fat. And then the uric acid blocks blood pressure. That's the blood pressure. So that is, that's also one of my, I don't know, aggravations, I guess, or pet peeves. And then the other piece of that is the statin piece, right? And so they knew clearly back in the 80s, probably even sooner than that, even before that, they knew that the biggest lipid, the most predictive, most telling lipid of all of the lipids, LDLs, HDLs, all the things, they knew at that time HDL was the biggest predictor. Low HDL was the biggest predictor of heart disease. But they could not figure out how to make a medication to raise HDLs. They could find out how to make, they figured out how to make a medication to lower LDLs, mm-hmm. called a statin, and that is why we are hyper-focused on cholesterol and LDLs, because somebody's making money on it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what raises HDLs? Food, food, always goes back to food, always goes back to nutrition. So we really have to kind of think through how, again, it's my life's work, I guess, figuring out how did we get here?
Yeah.
How did we get so off track? When if you look at the actual, and you know, Donna Webb is not the smartest girl in the room. Like, and I figured this out. So like, what is the deal? Why very, very much intelligent physicians, like I said, this doctor at Cox Hospital was furious at me. And I'm like, well, Reed, but it was a conversation that you kind of have with these typical doctors that it wasn't really a two-way conversation. It was more me just getting yelled at. But anyway, mm-hmm. that was another thing. So mm-hmm. so that's why I just want to, again, encourage people to look at the right thing, you know, to really be focusing on truth. Yes. What is the truth about food? So anyway, that was only the last story that I wanted to share today.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's wonderful information. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the time and energy that you have spent to educate yourself and then to share with all of us, because, you know, I've done some research into things, and it's very overwhelming, because there's so much information sometimes, and some, right. like a lot of times it contradicts each other. And then also just right. going against what you had been taught for so long, you know, I'm goodness. Just very thankful that you were willing to adjust.
Yeah.
And I think that's good for all yeah. of us to keep in mind too, is like, you were willing to adjust as a trained nutritionist who had been taught all yeah. these things. We, you know, we can be willing to adjust also.
Yeah. And I appreciate you too, Nadine, because I hadn't thought that through at that meeting where I was just sitting there mesmerized and everybody else had left. I feel like it was God. I feel like it was the Lord saying, you need to hear this. This, you need to change what you're doing. This needs to resonate with you. And it really did. It really just knocked me off my horse. So it was awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And once again, everyone, this is Donna Webb. She is in the Springfield area. If you want to reach her, you can get her on the website at brightskynutrition.com. Bright, like the sky is bright. And then yes. if you want to email her, she's at donna@brightskynutrition.com. So you can find her either of those two places. And I would highly recommend it. I don't know what your patient load is like right now, but hopefully we'll fill any empty spots you have and then some.
I love it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll definitely have to have you on again, because I, you know, as much as I enjoy this stuff, I can't research it like I know that others have. That's just not the gift that God's given me. I just like to share the information. So anyway, I'll definitely have to have you on again, because there is a lot more to unpack with all of it. And you know, I want to maybe talk sometime too, just to encourage parents that are on the go, of maybe how they can incorporate these yeah. things, and just to stick it out. Because, yeah. you know, for you have kids and you want them to eat, obviously, but you also don't want it to be a battle every time. And in my house, it's like, well, you're going to eat what I made, or you're not going to eat. So eventually they'll come around.
Exactly. I love that. I love that approach.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Donna, well, have a great weekend. Thank you again. And I will talk with you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Nadine.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'll have Donna's information on Substack as usual. If you have not subscribed to my Substack, it is free, and I would love for you to subscribe. And if you're listening on any other podcast platform, if you maybe want to like it, comment, it would just help get the word out more. And, you know, I am always just asking the Lord to keep me humble, because I don't want to do these things to, you know, for myself to have recognition, but it's more of just, it's the platform that I've been given. And if I believe that, then I should be trying to get the information out, because it's information that I feel pretty confident that God wants me to share. So I'm asking you that if you would just consider liking the podcast, subscribing, sharing. Those are all really good ways to get more information out. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, I mean, there's lots of ways that we need to change the direction of our country, especially. And this is one of those ways. And I think that it's a really big way, because, you know, what we put into our body definitely affects how we operate in the day to day, and it will also affect how long we're here. Unless God takes our breath, I mean, we're here, and we're responsible for what we put into our bodies, whether it's food or what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears. So anyway, just a little food for thought. No pun intended, or maybe it is. So I hope that you all have a wonderful weekend. Later on today at 2 is a really big show with JR, and then Eye of the Beholder at 6 with Polly. Then, of course, Sunday starts off at 7 with The Power of Truth. Matthew Von Trapp hosts that, and then Samuel Trapp at 9 with International Flavor. And starting us off for a new week on Monday is Shield Maidens of Missouri, Stacy Shore and Lisa Panette at 11, and then a really big show with JR at 2, Jack's Car Show at 6, and International Flavor at 9. You can find all of the schedule at damradio.com, and you can download the app there as well, so that way you get push notifications and you have really easy access to the shows and to great music. Or you can listen to past shows from all of the hosts here at Damn Radio. And like I said, you can subscribe to my Substack, Nadine at 9, and get all of my shows that way as well. So, alrighty, that's it. Next week, I'm going to have Jeremy Jacobs on to discuss the pro-life issues in Missouri right now. It'll be a very interesting discussion, so I hope that you tune in for that. There's a lot kind of moving around here in Missouri regarding amendments to our Constitution. So, yeah, tune in for that. Next week at 9, I will be live again in the Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Arts studio. And until then, let's remember to not act like children.